It's good to see everybody here today. I'll try and get this set where it won't blow you away. We got this right after my mom moved here, and I can remember my mom saying the same thing to me that she'd been saying to me for over 50 years. You're too loud. So anyway, hopefully it's at a good spot. It is really good to see everybody today. It has been so long since we have been able to really enjoy a worship together. I believe that the last count, we've had, I want to say, 23 people just from this congregation who have had COVID. Actually, it's 25 because we heard of two more yesterday. Obviously, nearly all of them are over it. None of those are here who have had it. I don't know how many we've had in town who have had it, but it's been all over the panhandle, and it sure is nice. Speaking as one who had it, let me tell you how freeing it is to not have to worry about taking it. I never was all that worried about getting it myself, but you know how it is. You don't want to take it to anybody that might be health compromised, and so there is that concern. And so we have appreciated your concern. We have certainly not thought that it was misplaced. You have had a good reason for concern, but it is good to have achieved some measure of herd immunity so that we don't have to keep cutting back again to stop our worship on Sunday evening and Wednesday night and Sunday morning. It's just kind of nice to be there. But the two that we just heard about were Grayson and Corinne. If you don't know them, Grayson is Mavadine's grandson and granddaughter-in-law, and Corinne is expecting a baby just within a few months. And so keep Corinne and Grayson in your prayers. So far, it really hasn't had much effect on babies. I think both Becca and Josh got it right after Walker was born, and he wasn't affected in the least bit. But speaking of little ones, not only is it good to see everybody back, but it is especially good to have Copeland here. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy the cooing of little ones. It is life, and it is hope. It's our future. And so to see our little ones from Copeland's age, so many of the kids are able to come back again. We're delighted to see y'all with us. We have been trying to get our worship and our Bible class at times to a point where they will be the most convenient for the most people. Not that worship and Bible class have to be convenient, but we want to make it to where you can come. We have had such unusual circumstances since we started this in about April or May that we really haven't had a chance to give you much feedback. And so for those of you who haven't had a chance to give us feedback on the 9 o'clock Sunday morning Bible class, the 10 o'clock worship time, and the 7 o'clock Wednesday night time, please give us your feedback, if not here at the Bible class meeting next Sunday morning, because we really do want to make it to where it works for everyone. Our Bible classes are vital, I'm convinced. We have teachers that spend an awful lot of time making sure that the Bible class is scripturally based, that it is the truth being taught. I cannot think of a better place for your children or we adults to be than in these Bible classes. And so we do want to make sure that we're able to take advantage of them. And again, we realize that worshiping God has never been meant to be convenient, but we don't want to make it so inconvenient that it doesn't work. And so keep that in mind and give us your feedback this week. At some point, we'll start changing the signs permanently once we know. But hopefully by next week, we'll have enough feedback to know exactly the best way to go. We had been talking about fear. We'd been talking about the problems that were created by fear. And then COVID started sweeping through, and we were starting to have, I think we had 55 one Sunday morning. And my comment was, I hope we don't see 55 for a long time. And we didn't. We saw 20 the next week. We saw 19 the next week. We saw 18 the next week. And then the last 2 weeks, we have been right around 40. We're finally getting back to where we're over 55. And so let me say this. I hope we don't see under 55 for a long time, but it is such an encouragement to see each one of you. I hope that you have all been doing well. We've been talking about the problems of fear. Now I want to talk about the solutions to those problems, because they are absolutely vital. Two weeks ago, we looked at this towards the tail end of a lesson, but it was a statement by Madame Curie, Marie Curie. Marie Curie was the first woman to receive a Nobel Prize. As a matter of fact, she won two. And she had a comment that I thought was really excellent concerning this topic. She said, "Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we can fear less." And of course, the point is not that we don't fear God, but it's this life. There are so many things in this life that we look at and we become afraid of, and it causes us to step back and to live subpar lives. Now, that doesn't mean that we are not cautious, and one person's caution may look different to another person who may think, well, that's just being fearful, but that's not true. Each one of us have rightful concerns, and because each one of us is responsible for our own decisions, we have to decide on those concerns what is the best thing for us to do before God. And so one person's caution may cause them to do one thing that wouldn't cause you to do, or your caution may cause you to do something that somebody else might look upon and say, well, they're just being scared. And that's not the case. We are not making equivalent caution and fear. As a matter of fact, when we talk about serving God, you need both. You need caution and you need courage. And in order to be able to serve properly with confidence, if those two are combined properly, we're going to do pretty good. But again, this idea, nothing in life is to be feared, only understood. I found out, how long ago, probably very early on, probably back in March or April, they were talking about what a coronavirus was. And corona means sun. And the coronavirus is essentially called a coronavirus because the less sun you get, the more likely you are to get this virus. And the reason is because there's vitamin D contained in the sun. And so that's why you typically, if you're going to get a cold, a coronavirus, you're going to get it in the winter. If you get the flu, a coronavirus, you're going to get it in the winter. And this thing that we're calling the coronavirus, it makes more sense that when you're inside more often than you're outside, you'll be more susceptible to that. It's just interesting to me how they warned us of that at the very beginning. It's going to be bad at first. It's going to calm down in the summer, and then it's going to get worse in the winter months because people will start going inside. And it did that. But isn't it interesting how so many that want to create fear and gain control are saying, see, it's because you didn't do what we said you were supposed to do. But when you understand some very basic things, there was a hospital, I think it may have been a group of hospitals in a country that did a study. They found out that 85% of the people that were hospitalized with coronavirus had a vitamin D deficiency. And that 89% of those people that they gave an adequate dose of vitamin D to got better, most of them immediately. And so I thought, well, here's something really simple, vitamin D. When you understand something more, you fear it less. And so there are just things like that. You look at the election that has, we think, occurred, and we see certain things that have happened as a result of that, and we see things that maybe concern us, maybe they don't concern us. I've heard people talking about, yes, there was cheating going on, but it wasn't enough to make a difference, which is just like saying, yes, I have been stealing money from your purse, but not enough to where you'd really notice it. Crime is crime. And if criminals determine an election, then criminals will rule the people. And so that's the reason that we're concerned about this, or maybe that you should be concerned about it, but don't be afraid of it. God is still in control. And God has permitted certain things to happen for a lot of years. You think about the fact that the Israelites went into slavery under Pharaoh. Was that so that more people would be saved or less people would be saved, do you think? And the answer, of course, is so that more people would be saved. On the end of it, this was God's plan. It wasn't very pleasant, but that's the way it was. When Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army came in and wiped out Judah, and just took a small remnant into Babylon, and that small remnant came back later on. Was that so that more people could be saved or fewer people could be saved? And from a spiritual standpoint, you have to say it was so that more people can be saved. There are things that will occur in this life that you don't understand, that you may not even agree with, but that God sees this is better, or that God permits to happen. You want to live this way? Go ahead and live this way. There's a consequence for it, but this is the way that God has set up the world. And sometimes, because there is a freedom to choose, some people will choose badly. And one of the reasons that sin is because sin has consequence sometimes on the innocent. But again, the more you understand things, the less you're going to fear it, and the more, hopefully, you will start to rely on God. In Job chapter 28 and verse 28, Job's an interesting book, but it starts off with God talking to Satan, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he commends Job as one that is upright among all men. He is the epitome of a man who is upright. And God permitted Satan to test Job with different things. Towards the end, well, later on, as Job's been going through all this test, certainly the evil things that Satan was able to accomplish have already occurred to Job. And now Job has been kind of going back and forth with his friends. And he makes a comment in Job 28, verse 28, that's very, I think, important for us to understand. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. Well, this is critical. We've gone through this series on fear, and the premise has been from the very beginning. If you fear God, you don't have to fear anything or anybody else. But if you don't fear God, if you don't have a proper fear for God, then it's very likely that you're going to have occasion to fear a lot of things. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to be hunkering through the rest of your life. And again, make the distinction between hunkering and concern. If you're just coiled up in a ball somewhere, hoping something bad doesn't happen to you, that's hunkering in fear. If you're concerned, this is, I think, the best thing for me to do, then you'll handle it well. The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. To shun evil is understanding. Remember, nothing in life is to be feared, according to Marie Curie. And the reason that I like this comment is it is consistent with the Scriptures. Only to be understood. Job said, to shun evil is understanding. I know I've given this example before, and I like this example, but it's one that sticks with you. It's been several years since I've used it, so I won't. But still, it'll stick with you, so I won't go too much over it. But do you remember the example of the three lion attacks? I can't remember who it was that presented these first, but I heard it at a men's retreat over a quarter century ago, and it essentially was this: there was a herd of antelope in Africa, and in this herd of, and we've all seen this on the wildlife special, so you can probably get a picture of this in your mind, but in this herd was a young buck, and he had gotten a little bit too far away from the herd. A young buck, what does he have? He has strength, he has speed, and he was enjoying the day, apparently, and he was just kind of drifting a little bit, enjoying the different grass, and he was starting to get away from the herd. What that antelope didn't realize was that there was a lion in the grass near him, stalking him. And there came a point where that buck realized what was going on, and it lifted his head. I don't know if it saw something out of the corner of its eye or if it caught a scent of the lion, but it knew it was in trouble, and it froze. And then it took off. Too late to avoid being dinner for the lion. The second example was of two photographers, again, in Africa, and they were just going around getting pictures of wildlife, and they came across just the dream for them. They had come across a pride of lions that had killed something. I don't know if it was a water buffalo or what it was, but anyway, they came across that, and they stopped their vehicle, and they started taking pictures of this pride of lions devouring the kill from inside the vehicle. One of them wanted a little bit better view, so he opened the door, standing on, you know, with the door between him and the lions. They were a ways off, and he started getting pictures, and he was really liking that, but he got involved with it too much, and he started creeping away from the vehicle. One of the really neat things about a lion, if you're a lion, is they can cover a lot of distance in a very short period of time. I think their top speed is somewhere between 30 and 40 miles an hour, which is about 50 to 60 feet a second. A basketball court's 90 feet. So by the time you've gone 1,001, 1,000, you're lunch for a lion. And that's oddly enough what happened. The photographer got out. He got too far. He got too careless. And one of the lions looked up and thought that would make a good appetizer. And he got him. And we know he ate him because the other photographer shut the door and he took pictures of it all. The third example was of somewhere late 1800s, early 1900s, of whatever the equivalent is for us today of a game warden or a wildlife person. But anyway, again, this was in Africa. He was horseback, this game warden, and he knew he was in lion country. He was experienced being in lion country. And new lions would be there. So as he was on this horse riding through, he was looking for lions. And he was prepared. But what he wasn't prepared for was there was a lion on both sides of the path in the grass. One hit the back of the horse, one hit the front. And when it spun the horse, he hit and lost consciousness for a few seconds. And when he regained consciousness, it was with a searing pain in his shoulder. He was being dragged under a lion to wherever the lion was going to devour him. Well, he didn't still have his gun. He had a knife, and he was able to get that knife, and he had a good view of the lion's rib cage, and he was able to stop the lion. Why tell that for this? To shun evil is understanding. People get too close to evil. They think, well, because they're inexperienced, like the young buck, they don't realize how dangerous it is to get close to evil. Or they just lose their caution for a moment. They get distracted. Maybe they realize it's dangerous to get too close to evil, but they get distracted and they get too close to evil. And sometimes even when you're not distracted and you're not inexperienced, you're still in for the fight of your life. Job said to shun evil, that's understanding. Do we have the understanding that causes us to shun evil? Or because we are so inexperienced with the Word of God, or because we become careless with the Word of God, do we leave the Word of God? Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to read these 8 verses. I think they are really going to, they really help me as far as this topic of understanding and fearing God. In Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1, God is speaking. And he says this, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you." By the way, I realize this is Solomon writing, but it's inspired by God. This is God speaking, and he's speaking from his perspective of wisdom. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Do you see how understanding is linked not only to a fear of God, but also to his word? If you are not familiar with his word, you are lion food. You have no hope if you're not familiar with his word. One of the reasons that it is so critical for us to be reading the word of God and to be studying the word of God is because that's the only source of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. If you wonder why we have so many problems in this world right now, it's because we have so many people that don't have an understanding, a proper understanding of God's word and of the fear of God. But again, look at that. If you'll accept my words and store up my commands. From an economic perspective, what's the best way to save money? And the answer is to save money. But what if you don't have money? Then you can't save it up. What's the best way to store up God's commands? Well, you have to get his commands, do you not? if you're not going after his commands, or if you're just relying on a human being for that, aren't you taking a big risk? Just look what's happened in our nation, not necessarily from a spiritual standpoint, but a physical standpoint. In February, we had the head of the Center for Disease Control, you would assume a fairly intelligent man, and the Surgeon General of the United States telling everybody, whatever you do, don't wear face masks. They will do you more harm than good. And about a month later, they started saying, the head of the CDC and the Surgeon General of the United States, wear face masks. They will do you lots of good. Well, some of the Senate was a little concerned about that, so they had the head of the CDC come in, and they said, why did you say that? And he looked at them, and he smirked, and he said, must we go through this again? And he explained why he said that he had lied, that it was for our own good. But now he was telling the truth. And now all we hear is, you have to do this or you'll kill everybody, when before they were saying it would do you more harm than good. Well, which is it? Well, do you not see that you lose the trust of people, whether they're right the second time or not? If I preached last week, lying's okay, and this week I preach lying is not okay, even though I finally got it right, how can you ever trust me anymore? 40 years of studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God, and I don't know something that basic? Understanding will come from knowledge. When it comes to physical understanding, we can see how important that is. But spiritual understanding? Are you reading the Word of God? Because if you are not, and if you're not retaining the Word of God, storing it up, you don't have a chance. You're going to be lion food. What is it that 1 Peter 5:8 says? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for those he might devour. If you're not storing up the commands of God, you are for sure lion food. So what's the solution? Start storing it up. If you call aloud for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it like as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, how serious are people about wealth? There are some people that are really serious about it. That's all they do is work. And for those who don't, sometimes all they do is stand in line waiting for a lottery ticket so they can get well. They think that somehow this money will help them out. Money's a handy thing to have. I don't dispute that part of it. But I can tell you that the understanding of God is the only thing that will save you. And it's also the only thing that will save you from fear. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. One last passage, and we're going to close. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. And maybe this is one of the best passages on really being able to put it together and understand it. Solomon, after a lifetime first of wisdom and then of going away from wisdom and suffering terribly, and the nation suffering terribly for his going away from wisdom, said this. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is the whole of man. What? Fearing God and keeping his commandments. Are these two things the main things in your life? They're supposed to be the whole of man. Everything else comes from that. You can still have a great life. You can enjoy great family. You can enjoy great friends. You can enjoy great recreation and fun. But if you don't fear God and keep his commandments, you've missed the whole purpose of your being here. And if you have, welcome to the club. But if you have, what will you do about it? Will you correct it before you go to meet your maker? Because if you ever forget, if I ever forget that there is an enemy stalking us, and he has about 6,000 years of experience on stalking, and if we think that our brilliance is going to keep us from being attacked rather than the power of God, we're fooling ourselves. This is the conclusion. Fear God. Fear God. You don't have to fear anything else. And keep his commandments. What more pleasant thing do we have to do? This is the whole of man. If we can do that, what is there to fear? Other than God, nothing. And it makes for a really good life. Invitation's open. You might be ready to become a Christian today. We'd love to help you with that. Or maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. If you do have any needs, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?